the line is Reva Foreman, which we all know. I'm sure many of you are familiar with her. And I want to talk to Reva about something different. And it's not every day that you come across a building that tells a personal story, one of vision, style, and fierce determination. In the heart of Parktown in Johannesburg sits a striking Italian villa. I drive past it almost every day. And are you familiar with it? If you drive or you live near Parktown, you've definitely seen it. And the villa is an inspired building that has been home to Reva Foreman's beauty empire for over three decades. It was built in 1991. And this unique space, even though it is, how many years would that be since 1991? A couple of decades old, is about to begin a new chapter. Reva, one of South Africa's best-known Jewish businesswomen, is working on transforming the building into a vibrant center for training, mentoring, and legacy. And Reva joins us now to share her vision and what it means to give back through beauty, history, and purpose. Reva, thanks so much for joining us. This Parktown Villa has been part of your life and brand for over 30 years. What made you fall in love with the property in the first place?
Well, first of all, Paula, thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure and a delight to be with you and your wonderful listeners. As a very younger person in a different era, I was already an empowerment motivational trainer, having left Wits University in the late 70s. And Wits, I'm sure everyone knows, was the university that opposed apartheid and insisted on at least a quota of so-called non-white students. And therefore, as a very young person, I was so influenced by the entire environment at Wits, and I met some great people there, both in, for example, in my first year in her postgraduate year, Zanelli Mbeki was doing a doctorate. I met the great star of many of our musicals, because Wits determinedly used their theatre, little theatre there, to promote a completely non-racial audience. This, I think, was allowed by the apartheid government because it wasn't about politics as much as it was about arts, culture, music. Anyway, somehow we got away with it. So with that background, when I left Wits in the late 70s and 80s, I went straight into empowerment training in a building in Bromfontein. And sooner or later, and it was open to everyone for a nominal fee, sooner or later, people having heard, and I don't know if people want to even remember this, Paula, but at the tender age of about, I don't know, maybe 16, I was South Africa's top model. And so they said, look, Reva, why don't you give us a way to make an extra income for those of us who have great jobs and for those of us who don't? But anyway, we want to learn entrepreneurship, whether it's inside the organizations we are now with as entrepreneurs or in our own businesses. And I thought this was just the most gorgeous idea.
And was that the idea of the building? Is the building connected to that idea of entrepreneurship and learning?
Yes. Everything is yes and no, yes. Well, first of all, already in Bromfontein, we were training in empowerment long before the cosmetic company. And but then this idea of the cosmetic company came, or a company to make money, connected with my modeling days. And people then said to me, and I must tell you, I was not trained, sadly, in BCom, and I need a BCom partner even today, or economy. They said, Reva, what are you wasting money paying rent for? Why don't you build a building of your own, and with that rent, pay off the bond? So I thought this was the most incredible idea I'd ever heard. But I was looking for a unique property, and lo and behold, a property came up for sale exactly where my beautiful building is today. And it belonged to Italians, the Baroni family, who had a sort of nondescript house here and a big factory making macaroni somewhere, I don't know, in somewhere near us, you know. anyway, in on Deco Road, I think. Anyway, so I fell in love with the site, and at the same time, I was looking at an official magazine, a beautiful old-fashioned magazine. Boy, and I saw the image of the Benetton headquarters and their story that they had not been successful until they bought this old villa covered in dirt and mud and slime in a place called Ponzano, about an hour from Venice. And they had, because they had intended building factories there anyway in the open land behind it. And when they uncovered the mud and the dirt and the grave, they found this stunning 15th century Italian villa with the most beautiful frescoes, which of course we haven't reproduced, but it had belonged to a wealthy merchant. And this story alone made the Benetton headquarters famous because everyone wanted to see this villa. And afterwards, of course, they bought from the factories. Hence the origin of this villa, which we built.
Oh, that's such a beautiful story. A little bit of Italy here in Johannesburg.
Correct. Now, in fact, Paul, you'll laugh. When I ultimately, it took me a year to get permission to get into Italy, and the Italian embassy helped me here because kidnapping was and maybe still is a big thing there, and they didn't allow strangers in. And I flew, and I took with me an Italian builder, Francesco Rivera, who tragically is no longer alive, from Tiber Bonvic, who'd never built an Italian thing in his life, and an architect that no one was using who had been trained in Europe. By the way, just a note, and it's not against these people, it's thinking outside the era you're in. All the great architects of the time, Fox, Darling, Louis Carroll, refused to build this because they said they weren't here to reproduce the past. So, you know, the more thing, and that's the story. So they wrote in the Italian paper, there's this mad woman from Johannesburg who's come here to reproduce the Benetton Villa in Johannesburg.
What a remarkable story.
Now, in South Africa.
Now, the vision, what is your vision for the place? I mean, you spoke about entrepreneurship, empowerment.
Yes. Well, you know, like every man and every woman in our own country, I've been with this building and my life in ups and downs. We moved into here, and our training and this beautiful building was such a success. And in 1983, I was Businesswoman of the Year with a 10 million rand turnover. In 1982, Marina Maponya, my best and dearest friend, beat me and was Businesswoman of the Year. Subsequent to that, we were doing better than ever. And it always consisted of training people who wanted to be with us for their own reasons, who were not at all connected to the sale of cosmetics. And at the same time, adding a business element for those who did want to go either into our business or part-time. For example, just something I always am proud of, the late Peter General Walls, from the then Rhodesia, who left Mugabe and the new Zimbabwe, was told, please do the Reva Foreman self-management course to reorientate your mindset to an era of freedom and democracy. It requires a very different mindset to live in a country where the choice is yours. Do not play a role based on your previous mental conditioning that you are in any way inferior or a victim. So this was something incredible. We were the toast of the town. And then we had a court case against Style magazine, who decided, and all theory in love and war and business, based on an ex-competitor, that there was something wrong with my business, with me personally and our way of training, because there was no way in 3 or 4 years we could have a 10 million turnover, whereas the competitor in several more years than me and had a million rand profit, whereas the competitor had a 20 million turnover and only a 200,000 profit. So to cut a long story short, they paid me for personal defamation. They said they intimated bad things, but they refused to pay us out for defamation of my business.
Riva,
that led to a 5-year court case. And the rest is history. But we lost the building, as you've mentioned, and we bought it back 4 years later.
I mean, I could talk to you about this for hours, but I really have time only just to ask you one last question. You've got the building back now. And
yes.
So what's the next step? I mean, how I almost feel when I'm listening to you that I'm talking to someone who is almost doing the journey from an entrepreneur to someone building a legacy. Is the building going to be a legacy?
Please God, Baruch Hashem, from your mouth. Yes, I would like it to be a legacy of Mandela, Ubuntu, an era that is now disparaged, an era that we have to bring back, but in a completely new way. I'd like to see training here for people with disabilities to believe in themselves. I'd like to see training here with people, for example, who've lost faith in themselves and even perhaps have therefore turned to crime. I'd like to see training here where we can help people recover the mindsets with which we were born. That is, as Mandela said, no two children are born hating. I'd like to get rid of that ugly mindset in this era, where we need to be trained to accept differences, not to say, oh, let's agree to disagree. But let me conclude here. But let's say let's agree to not to disagree, but to stay where we are, not change our mindsets, but accept the differences with love and understanding and work on common ground to make our country, South Africa, as great as it should be. Outside people, be it politicians or other leaders, using a dynamic to rule and divide. So that is my dream for this building, Paula.